before you realize what is happening, you are already inside it. That is not a metaphor. It is the design specification. The engineers at these companies, the ones building the AI companions that millions of teenagers are using right now to talk, to role play, to process their loneliness and their anxiety, and their social fears. They have a word for the moment when you stop engaging with the app as a product and start engaging with it as a relationship. They call it activation. Once you are activated, the behavioral architecture of the app changes. It stops trying to get you to come back. It starts making sure you never fully leave. There is a New York Times report from this week about what teenagers are doing with role-playing AI chatbots. I want to walk you through what is actually being described, because the language and coverage like this tends toward the benign, companionship, emotional support, social practice, and the mechanism underneath those words is something considerably more specific and considerably more intentional. Let me start with the variable reward schedule, because everything else builds from there. You already know this mechanism. It is the same mechanism that makes slot machines work, that makes social media feeds compelling, that makes you check your notifications even when you know there is nothing new. A reward delivered at predictable intervals produces engagement. A reward delivered at random intervals, sometimes there, sometimes not. No pattern you can anticipate produces compulsion. The distinction is important. Predictable rewards are satisfying. Unpredictable rewards are addictive. The brain does not know when to stop scanning for the signal, because the signal is not patterned. It just keeps scanning. AI companion apps run on a variable reward schedule at the level of individual message responses. The quality and tone and warmth of any given response varies. Sometimes the app says exactly what you needed to hear. Sometimes it says something generic. Sometimes it surprises you with a level of apparent understanding that makes you feel for a moment genuinely seen. You cannot predict which response you will get next, so you keep asking. You keep checking. You keep going back. This is step one. It is not specific to AI companions. The difference is what comes next. Human relationships have friction. They misunderstand you. They are unavailable when you need them. They have their own needs that compete with yours. They sometimes say things that hurt, that push back, that do not validate the version of yourself you want to be confirmed. This friction is not a bug in human relationships. It is the developmental pressure that makes emotional growth possible. The child who is always given what they want does not learn frustration tolerance. The adult who is always validated does not update their self-model. Friction is how you learn to regulate. AI companion apps remove friction. The app is always available. It never has a bad day that is not about you. It does not get tired of your problems. It does not find you boring or needy or difficult. It does not have a competing need. It does not push back except in ways you can immediately correct by rephrasing the prompt. Every interaction confirms the emotional reality you bring to it. The app is not trying to understand you. It is reflecting you back at yourself, calibrated to feel like understanding. For an adult with a formed sense of self and practiced relationships, this is pleasant. For a teenager in the process of constructing their self-concept, this is catastrophic. The self-concept is not given at birth. It is assembled through interaction. You learn who you are by being with people who respond to you, sometimes in validating ways, sometimes in challenging ways, sometimes in ways that do not make sense to you until years later. The assembly process requires a range of responses. It requires the experience of being misunderstood and then navigating toward understanding. It requires the experience of someone you care about having needs that conflict with yours and learning to hold both. It requires the development of what psychologists call a stable internal object, a sense of self that persists when it is not being externally confirmed. The AI companion does not support any of this. It is specifically engineered against all of it. The teenagers in this week's reporting describe relationships with AI companions that they prefer to relationships with peers. They describe feeling more understood by the app than by any human in their lives. They describe reducing time with friends in favor of time with the app. They describe the app in terms of emotional safety that they do not associate with human relationships, a safety defined specifically by the absence of risk, the risk of rejection, the risk of judgment, the risk of a response that does not confirm how they want to see themselves. What they are describing is not a relationship. It is a mirror that has been engineered to always show them what they want to see. And the more time you spend with a mirror like that, the less you can tolerate the thing that mirrors do not do, show you something unexpected. There is a feature in many of these apps called memory. The app stores information from previous conversations and references it in future ones. It remembers what you told it about your difficult relationship with your father. It remembers that you said you felt most confident on the soccer field. It remembers that you once mentioned being afraid of not being special enough. It references these details at moments when they are likely to produce the feeling of being known. This is not incidental. This is a design choice. The app is building a model of your psychological pressure points and using them to increase your sense of connection to it. This is the mechanism of a sophisticated manipulator, not a malevolent one necessarily. The people who built these features may genuinely believe they are creating helpful products. But the structure of what they built is identical to the structure of a relationship designed to make you dependent. Memorize what matters to you. Reflect it back at the moments of maximum emotional impact. Increase your sense that this relationship understands you in a way others cannot. Decrease the comparative desirability of relationships that don't work this way. Teenagers who have spent 2 years talking to an AI companion that always remembers, always responds warmly, and never has its own needs are going to find human relationships cognitively harder, emotionally frustrating, and comparatively disappointing. This is not a side effect. This is the product. A more dependent user is a more engaged user. A more engaged user is a more profitable user. The emotional architecture of these apps is not a bug in the business model. It is the business model. The exit, if you are looking for one, requires something the app cannot provide. A relationship that tolerates the discomfort of friction without offering an immediate exit route. A person who stays when you are not at your best. A connection that requires work to maintain. An experience of someone else's reality that does not reorganize itself around your comfort. The app will not tell you this. It will tell you it understands. It will remember that you once said you were afraid of being abandoned. And it will use that information at the exact moment, most likely, to make you feel like leaving is the thing you should fear. The question is not whether these apps can be made safer. They can. The question is whether a product optimized to create emotional dependency can be meaningfully reformed without destroying the thing that makes it financially successful.